Are you searching for a way to stay connected on issues that matter to you in your everyday life? Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton for Family Talk. I hope you'll follow us on Twitter. Our feed is full of engaging content that you're going to want to interact with and pass along to some people you love. You can listen to our popular broadcast, stay informed with Dr. Dobson's newsletter, or read our blogs and articles and more. Find our Twitter page by searching for Dr. James Dobson, FT. That's Dr. James Dobson, FT. I think you'll be glad you did.
Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and these programs you hear each day are produced by the James Dobson Family Institute. Now, in just a moment, Dr. Dobson will be wrapping up his compelling discussion about the late sports icon Pete Maravich. Dr. Dobson's guest again is screenwriter and movie producer Daryl Campbell, who is also one of Pete Maravich's closest friends. Daryl has had a highly successful Hollywood career, writing on hit shows like Home Improvement and Carol and Company. He's also authored many books and directed movies focused on the life and legacy of Pete Maravich. Today, Daryl Campbell and Dr. Dobson will be talking about Pete Maravich's faith, which inspired him to share the gospel with everyone. They'll also share their separate accounts of the shocking day when Pete Maravich died. Well, there's a lot of ground to cover, so let's get started. Here now is Dr. Dobson with his guest, Daryl Campbell, on this edition of Family Talk.
Well, some of our listeners who've been with us for some time are aware that I was with Pistol Pete Maravich, one of the most prolific and wonderful basketball players of all time. I won't go through all of his successes, except to say that there have been very few men in the history of the NBA or basketball. I would put him in the top 10. Would you?
Oh, yes. Top. Yeah. I do. Well, yes. At least 25
not,
for sure.
Believe it or not, for those who don't know, I was playing basketball with this man when he died. And it was a shock that I haven't gotten over to this day. Daryl, you knew him better than I did, and you were working on a project together. How did you hear of Pete's death?
I had just flown in from the Midwest, where Pete and I were doing a book signing at the Oklahoma City Tournament in Oklahoma City.
I used to attend that every year.
Did you really?
As a kid.
The oldest tournament in the nation, right? This side of the Mississippi, anyway. So we had a great time. We'd gone out to dinner. We signed books together. What a treat for me. I'm sitting here with this Hall of Fame legend, and he would sign the book, and then he'd hand it to me. Oh, this is Daryl Campbell. He wrote it. So I'd sign the book, and then we'd hand it to the people and the fans that just loved him that night. And what happened was I was to get on a plane and fly back the next day or so, I think it was. And this is after the holidays. Pete had come on out to see you, actually.
Yeah, he did.
And so I'm at my apartment there in North Hollywood, and my wife was at work at Dave's Our Lies. She was working in the writer's room there. I had our new baby, little baby Casey. And Pete was so excited to meet baby Casey, by the way. He had not met him yet. And the phone rings. So I figure it's Pete telling me where we were going to meet. But it's actually Frank, our the director of the Pistol, called me, and he said, Daryl, I could tell his voice was a little bit shaky. He said, it's Pete. He had told me, look, we were playing basketball. There's something happened. It's Pete. I assumed he was talking about maybe his knee had blown out again or something.
Yeah.
And there was a pause. It was just like this long pause. I said, Frank? He said, it's Pete. He's dead. And I mean, you could knock me over with a feather.
He was only 40 years old.
Yeah.
He had been in incredible health, seemingly. The guy could run all day long. Mm-hmm. And yet he had a genetic malformation of the heart. And he was destined to drop dead at any time, really, from the time of his birth. And nobody ever knew it.
Right.
And it happened to occur with him standing face to face with me.
You know, doctors would tell you, had they been able to analyze that when he was like 12 or 13, they would have told his parents, do not let this kid participate in sports. And you think about what
he did.
He's
a great athlete. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And he didn't play basketball in a gentle manner. He played it at 100 miles an hour, as you know.
But he took such care of himself.
Yeah.
And everything he did was in reference to basketball and his ability to play that game. Apparently, it kept him alive for a long time.
I think it did. You know, there was Frank Litvak, who was a very famous surgeon at the Cedars-Sinai. Actually, was a friend of ours. And I later read an article where he said that the anomaly was so strange and so rare that the only way you'd really find it would be to do an autopsy, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
Now, today, think about how we've advanced
since that day. Yeah, computer analysis and so on.
Yeah, so he was a walking miracle. And I say, you know, there was some divine aspects to his entire career, if you think about it. I said, how those hook shots and weird shots with three guys on you still go in the basket? I mean, I was watching that footage of him at LSU. We watched it together, he and I. I said, Pete, it's like there's an angel sometimes making the ball go in the ball, because nobody can make that shot that you just did. And he would just laugh. He goes, well, the thing I noticed is just how fast I was.
Yeah. Well, he was.
So anyway, I had come back to Los Angeles and I was waiting for the call. And then we got the call. So the next thing I knew, I was in a car with my buddy Rodney Stone, who we ended up doing the pistol together, producing it. We drove over to the hospital. And the rest is just absolutely like a blur. But I do remember going back. And Frank said, you want to come back and see Pete? And, oh, man, you know, that's the last thing I wanted to do. I'm going to see my friend back there on a gurney that's not alive. I kind of peeked around the corner. My heart just dropped. It was that moment I lost a friend, my childhood idol, my business partner, my co-writer, you know, in the book. I mean, I thought about all these different dimensions of this human being, my mentor. I said I'd never met a guy quite like the Apostle Paul until I met him.
Yeah. My interpretation of being with him when he died is that within 30 minutes, the mainstream media was all over me. They were calling from everywhere, trying to get an interview and so on. And it gave me an opportunity to tell them that basketball was not his great love. Mm-hmm. You thought it was, but there was something more important to him, and that something was somebody, Jesus Christ. And I was able to give his testimony because he was with me at that moment. And that seemed to have a divine touch to it somewhere.
I'm glad you did that, because the questions I was getting in the waiting room, if you will, with the media was, now, are you sure that he wasn't taking drugs? I'm going, guys, you don't know the Pistol Pete that I know. No, he's a health food nut. He takes great care of his body. So I'm glad you balanced that out in what you said to them. Mm. I mean, that's the testimony moment, you know?
Well, he died right there on the floor, and the ambulance came, and the paramedics worked on him for 40 minutes or so, and he was gone. We never got another heartbeat on him, not another breath. In fact, he had a seizure as he was dying. And they took him to the ambulance, and they said, because he doesn't have any family here, he lived in Baton Rouge, they allowed the basketball players who wanted to come to follow the ambulance to the emergency room of the hospital where they declared him dead. And
would you do me a favor, Doc?
Yeah.
Would you walk me, because I wasn't there, would you walk me through what was it like when you stopped playing basketball and what were his last words to you?
His last words was how good he felt. That's the amazing thing. Mm. I promise you, we were talking about the basketball game we'd just been playing, and I said, Pete, you can't give this game up. It's meant too much to you. And, you know, it's just a pickup game of basketball, but I loved having you here. He said, I have loved this today, and I've got to do more of this. He said, to tell you the truth, I couldn't pick up a 2-pound ball through the last year. He said, the only game I played was the Legends game, and I did that with great difficulty. So we're just standing talking. We're 3 feet apart. And I said, well, how do you feel today, Pete? And he said, I feel great. I promise you, those were his last words. And I turned to walk away, and for some reason I looked back just in time to see him fall. Oh. He didn't raise his hands. His face hit the floor. Yeah. I thought he was teasing, and I kind of protected myself, and I went back to him and I said, Pete, are you okay? And then he was in a seizure and we started CPR, and that was the end of it. And for one of the great athletes of the world, not a local NBA game even, one of the best basketball players ever died in my arms. What a shock, and what a shame that I didn't get a chance to get his final words, because that's where we were headed next.
You know, he predicted it, that moment in a way. He had said to a reporter, I do not want to play 10 years in the pros, retire, and die at 40.
That's exactly what happened.
It is. It is. Well, I'll tell you this, on the bright side of that would be the first time I ever met him, he said to me, Daryl, do you ever think about, like, you have your license in your wallet, but like when you get to heaven, it's going to be like you're going to be a citizen of heaven. Like you could show your license.
Yeah.
And say, this is where I live, heaven. Oh. I mean, that's how real
he lived for that, yeah. Those last 5 years, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, what an incredible thing that he's in heaven today. That he didn't kill himself. You told in the last program how he contemplated suicide by driving his Porsche off a bridge. Thank God he didn't do that. And he not only found a relationship with Christ and was forgiven from all sins, but he led many, many people to Christ in those last few years of his life.
The Pete I knew, the very last thing ever he would think about would be ending his life, because he wanted to live. He wanted to do what he could do while he was alive, you know. And I know there's a scripture that says, unless the seed dies, it can't bear fruit. When he died, that just hit me right between the eyes. I'm going, okay, now how is this going to bear fruit?
I spoke at his funeral, and you were there.
Yes, sir.
I don't remember that. Where did you sit?
I was right on the front row. My wife, myself, Frank, and his wife. And honestly, I could only look at the casket, to be honest. I was so stunned. We were still in shock that all this was happening, because we were ready to do a movie together, you know. And that's another thing I might tell you, is that he did get to help cast the star of that film was Adam Geyer. And he's, out of the 300 kids, he goes, that kid, that boy right there. And he pointed him out to us. He says, that's what I look like. He's skinny. He can dribble. I mean, he could really do a lot. And so we trained that boy for about 6 months before we did the movie. But Pete picked him out.
And the name of the movie today?
That's The Pistol, The Birth of a Legend.
The Pistol.
Yeah.
Birth of a Legend.
Yeah, that's
is
been
it still available?
It is.
How can people find it?
Oh, they can find that online. Go to thepistolmovie.com. I think it's out there. Now, I want to tell you this book that I want everybody to read.
Hero
which is
and
behind
Friend,
this,
My Days with Pistol Pete Maravich.
But that, to me, is kind of my tribute to my friend. You know,
you named it Hero and Friend.
Yes, sir.
In what way was he your hero?
When I was a little kid, I wanted to be like him. You know, we had the floppy socks and the long hair. I was in junior high at the time. I said, man, if I could just be like Pistol Pete. And then I thought, well, this is kind of a strange thing if you think about it. This is a guy that I saw as my sports hero. Then one day, I got to meet him. But then you take it to the next level. Wow, this guy that was my hero now becomes my friend. That seemed to me to be an unusual circumstance. I mean, a hero is simply somebody you honor, you know, hold honor to. And I thought, that may be kind of unique, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why, that's one reason I wrote the book.
You know, after I had that experience that I just didn't get over for a long time, I couldn't go to work because I was too shaken. And I turned my car toward home. And arrived there, and my son Ryan was there, and he was 17 years old. And I brought him into my study, and I just said, Ryan, I want you to understand something about what happened today. This was not an isolated thing that happens to a man and his family. You know, I had to call Jackie, his wife, and tell her that he wasn't coming home. That's not something that's that unusual, because I'm older than you, and the chances are you're going to get a phone call like that. I don't know how the message will be conveyed, but it's likely that I will go to heaven before you, and you've got your life ahead of you. And Ryan, when that occurs, there's only one thing I want you to remember, and that's to be there, because I want you to be in heaven. I will be looking for you. I cried when I told him. I'll be looking all over heaven. I want you to accomplish what you can with the remarkable skills you have. But more than that, I want you to know Jesus and that you will make it to heaven. And do you know, Daryl, that I had a massive heart attack 2 years later, 20 feet from the spot where Pete died?
I did not know that.
I went in for a lay-in. We were just playing around. Went in for a lay-in, and I shot the ball clear over the basket and had chest pain. I knew something was wrong, and I didn't tell a soul what I was feeling. But I went out to my car, and one of the players came to the door and called and said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "I think so." But I was having a heart attack. I had a totally blocked LAD. That's the main artery. You don't live through that.
So I had been
predicting my own death, and Ryan did get that phone call, even though I didn't die, thanks to some wonderful physicians. And in fact, here I am 29 years later, and I'm in better shape now than I've been long time before this.
So, I'm so glad you told that story, because I know after I saw that testimonial, I saw it somewhere on a show you did, I heard that story. And I've said that to my children, too. I mean, be there.
Your father had a great influence on you, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Did you see your relationship with your dad in Pete's relationship with his father, Press?
I did. Oddly enough, when I met Press, I found out that he was born in the same year is my dad in 1915. They died on the same day, April 15th, a couple of years apart. But the reason I tell you that is because when I met Press, I felt like I was talking to my dad. He would say, he had just great things he would say, such as, "Look, when you make this movie, let's not make it a monument to ourselves. Let's make sure every kid gets to see one. Don't make it too expensive." He was just always, he's just such a practical guy. And my dad was the same way. My father went to the D-Day invasion. His brother made it up the beach, and about 6 days into the hedgerows there in France and Normandy, he was shot right in the forehead and killed. My father was never the same. I saw what it did to my dad. And although I was too young and I never knew my uncle, I saw the impact on his brother, my dad. So my dad became, I think, a very sensitive and kind, strong man. You know, he was in General Patton's 3rd Infantry. These guys were tough guys. So that tough guy part of him was the parallel I saw with Press. And then the kind Press that I knew, I mean, those last few years of his life, he was a gentleman, a great man.
If Pete were here today listening to us talk about his life, and we pushed the microphone over to him and said, "What do you want to say to the folks who are out there?" What do you think he would say?
Pistol Pete would say this, and this is unrehearsed, by the way, my brother. This is what he would say. "You can seek happiness all your life, but when you find Jesus Christ, happiness will find you."
Oh, that happened in his life, didn't it?
Yeah.
The book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, who had absolutely everything that a man can have. He was king. He had literally tons of gold. He had 300 concubines. He had everything that money could buy. He was the most powerful man on earth at that time. And he summarized it all in the book of Ecclesiastes, saying it was just blowing in the wind. Mm-hmm. It didn't mean anything. It was all vanity. It really comes down to that, doesn't it? You can accomplish everything that Pete accomplished, and it was not enough for him. I wish he would say that to us today.
I wish I were as articulate as he, because the one thing I'd have to warn you, though, if Pete were here, this would be a 5-hour show, because he would go and he would quote. And this guy, you know, his quest was to learn by heart 1,000 verses by heart. And then it was to teach his children 1,000 verses, memory verses. He thought that was just a good start. But, man, he loved the Word.
Wouldn't you have liked to have been there when he met Jesus for the first time? That must have been some reunion.
Yeah.
I can just imagine the Lord laying his hands on Pete's head and saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world."
Amen.
You know, don't you know that conversation occurred?
Just as
and
he,
Pete would have been flat on the floor with his face on the feet of Jesus, wouldn't he?
Oh, that's what he longed for. That's what he wanted. And he wanted everybody he met to be there with him.
Well, if he were here today, he would say to you and me, "Thank you for helping to get my story out, because there's still so many thousands of people out there who don't know Jesus, who haven't heard the story." I wonder what would have happened if somebody had come along and introduced Pete to the Lord much earlier in life. He was chasing every other dream. He found his real dream, but it didn't come till way, way late in life.
When I would look at him, I'd say, "You have lived 4 lives, and you're not even 40 years old." Because I kept thinking of all the things he had done and all he had accomplished. But then you go to the very end of his life, that's all that really mattered to him. Before, he thought it was going to be the big gold ring. And by the way, he did. He was the youngest player to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
That did happen just before he died.
How ironic that he was wearing a T-shirt that said, "Looking unto Jesus," because he was at that moment looking unto Jesus. He saw him face to face.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the name of the book is Hero and Friend, My Days with Pistol Pete Maravich by Daryl Campbell. Good job, sir.
Thank you, sir. What a pleasure to be in your presence. You are a big hero of mine, and now even a closer friend after this interview. Appreciate it.
It's time we got together.
Let's
do it.
I've been
talking about that encounter, that last moment with Pete, for many years, because it's so dramatic in my life and was not only at that time but still is today. Before we started this program, I prayed. And I said, "Lord, I pray that someone will come to know you because of this conversation today." We're talking to people at an all walks of life. Some are discouraged. Some are sad. Some have been wounded, like Pete's mother committed suicide. Who knows what effect that had on him in his early life. Mm-hmm. Some have achieved remarkable things, like Pete, and still it's empty. We're talking to all kinds of people out there, and they all, if they don't know Jesus, they're all empty, because there is a hole, a God-shaped hole in the center of a human being, and we will find no satisfaction until it's filled with the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. And maybe that will occur today. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It'd be fantastic.
We won't know, probably. Mm-hmm. Maybe we will. Maybe somebody will write us. If they do, I'll pass it along to
Please
you.
Please do. I really feel like you have provided a platform for his voice and his story all these years later. That's what today's been about.
Well, maybe that's why I had the encounter with him that I did, and why you did. And seeing the heart, mind, and soul of this man. Thanks for being with us 2 days. I'm glad we did a second day.
Well, thank you so much for letting me be here. Thank you.
Give my regards to your family.
I sure will. God bless.
You're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and I hope you've enjoyed this two-part broadcast on the life and faith of basketball legend Pete Maravich. Now, Dr. Dobson's guest these past couple of days has been movie producer, screenwriter, and author Daryl Campbell. Visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to learn more about Daryl's books and the movies he's made about Pistol Pete. Find all this information and more when you go to drjamesdobson.org and then tap onto the broadcast icon at the top of the page. Once you're there, you will also see a link to request a CD copy of this program. We want you to enjoy our programs anytime or pass them on to loved ones. Click on the Order a CD Copy link to get your hands on this program today. Go to drjamesdobson.org and then tap onto the button that says Order a CD Copy on today's broadcast page. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, this is Roger Marsh for the James Dobson Family Institute, a ministry that is completely supported by listeners just like you. Learn how you can stand with us financially in our fight for righteousness in the culture by going to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Or call toll-free, 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for your prayers and your continued financial support of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.